resume. We shall then give over to members. Okay, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I must say initially that one has a lot of empathy for the acting DG. One gets the impression that he's trying to do best out of a bad job. However, it is so that when you take the trappings, you have to draw the coach. Chairperson, you see, what one gets in this report is that you get a lot of rhetoric. But if one looks at the actual achievement, and I want to tell the acting DG that I admire him for admitting that there are various failures. That's a plus point. He's not trying to defend the indefensible. But, Chair, I want to zoom in on a couple of things that are really of grave concern. Firstly, you have here on slide 33, you have the whole issue of mechanization. And when you look at the mechanization, Chair, and I look at the, with a backdrop of the fact that in the last annual report, the department's actual achievement was less than 20% of its set targets. Now, there was supposed to have been a policy on mechanization. And there was a draft mechanization policy in January 2012 that was dated January 2012, which was distributed to the committee on 9th October 2012 during the annual report briefings. The department has reported now that the mechanization policy has been refocused and simplified to support household food security. Now, is the refocused policy, the draft policy that was distributed to the committee in October? If not, what is the current status of the mechanization policy? Then, Chair, the department reported that 503 out of 504 tractors, I don't know what happened to the one, the 0.1% one, and 2436 implements were delivered. When were these deliveries? To whom were they delivered and in which provinces was it delivered and for what purpose? Now, Chairperson, there was a problem which was highlighted. And on SABC Television News, there was a report which was aired on the 6th of November about unused tractors in Limpopo. It was reported that the tractors were standing idle and have not been used since delivery, as they were given to the province after the budget period, and therefore the provincial department did not have a budget for their operational costs. Now, I'm made to understand, Chair, that the more agricultural activity provinces have received mechanization to the value of approximately 70 million rand each. Free State has received them. They were lying at the Glen College of Agriculture, baking in the sun, and delivery only started around about 2 to 3 weeks ago. And we are well into the plowing season. In fact, the plowing season in the summer rainfall areas is already past. Planting season is about to go past too. Then, Chairperson, this morning on radio, there was a report that at Modder River in the Northern Cape, on land of the Department of Agriculture, 70 million rand worth of stock is still lying there. And they interviewed the head of the Department of Agriculture there, Mr. Fulyun Motiti, I think. Motiti. And he admitted that it is so. And of course, they're baking in the sun. But that they are still trying to work out measures as to how these things should be distributed and what should happen. Now, I want to make it clear to the National Department that I am not blaming you. But what I'm saying is that here are funds that are made available through the National Treasury, diverted to the National Department. National Department makes it available to the province. And I need to find out what are the mechanisms that we have in place. Because you see, Chair, you have here somewhere in the department tells us, for example, that they are having difficulty in tracking what goes on in the province. Now, Chairperson, if that is the case, then we are talking of budgets of millions. We cannot afford to be unable to be accountable for what the provinces are doing. And we need to pay attention to this, Chair. Then, Chair, under the program Food Security and Agrarian Reform, at some stage, we had heard that in terms of the Zero Hunger Program, it's part of food security, that program has been halted. And up to now, Chair, I am not satisfied that we have been given adequate responses about why that happened and how those funds that were earmarked for it are to be utilized and where are they to be utilized. Now, Chairperson, they also say here that the annual target is to support 15,000 smallholder producers. And, of course, according to the figures given here, they seem to have reached 50% for the midterm, for the two quarterlies, through a so-called smallholder strategy. But, Chairperson, is there an integrated smallholder strategy besides the disjointed support programs from various departments? For the same target, the department reported that 8086 smallholder producers have been identified. This is not an achievement, Chair, as the idea is that those that have been identified are supposed to be supported. And therefore, Chairperson, the department must differentiate clearly between the reported identification of smallholders under this program and that which is reported under Program 1 administration, namely that 2580 smallholder farmers through MAFISA and 5910 smallholder producers through CASP have been either identified or assisted or whatever the case may be. Now, Chairperson, I have the impression when I look at the presentation that it is again a case, and I say it with all due respect, of thumbshot. I am certain that if we are to request details of every person, every smallholder that has been on the one hand we talk of identification, on the other hand, we are saying that they've been assisted. Now, those that have practically been assisted, Chairperson, we will find the figures to be wanting. Now, Chairperson, out of this budget, the DG, who was suspended, and And the reason given in the press was that it was for administrative reasons. I think he left somewhere, he was suspended somewhere in the first quarter, I think in the month of June. I don't have exact dates. So Mr. Ntombela basically takes responsibility for what has happened since then as DG, acting DG. The question I have is this, Chair, that Mr. Fenter gave us an outline of the expenditure vis-à-vis the budgets. Now, it may sound frivolous, but it isn't. This committee, Chair, this country, the contributors to the fiscus in this country are not aware as to what exactly were the reasons why the DG was suspended. And subsequently, I think in the second quarter, the DG was prepared to accept a package. Chair, in the interests of transparency, accountability, and I would also say justice, it is essential that Parliament, the representative of the people of this country, the instrument that approves budgets, should be taken on board. Parliament should know exactly what led to the dismissal, to the suspension of the former DG, and what was the settlement terms, and what did it cost the fiscus. You see, Chairperson, if these things are kept away, you are creating the ideal ground for all sorts of speculation. And may I add, Chair, it's not only speculation, but you are sending out a message out there that our departments are not prepared to be held accountable. This is an expenditure, Chair, from this budget. We need to know from the date of suspension right up to the time of the actual settlement, whatever it was the DG on full pay? Was he, the stories that do the rounds, and I can only say the stories because nobody has come here and told us up front that this was the settlement, this was the settlement terms, and this was the alleged or whatever misdemeanor why the Director General had to leave. And I say this, Chairperson, against the backdrop that we have until June, which was 3 years and 1 month roughly, when this particular department under a new ministry in 2009 took office. And you cannot have a situation, Chair, where in that short period of 3 years and 1 month, you had 6 different DGs. And with all due respect, Chair, the DG that was inherited by this department, Mrs. Njabulo Nduli, all we heard was that she was unceremoniously, I repeat, unceremoniously suspended. Nobody told us what the reasons were. We asked for it. It was never given to us. And again, a settlement was made. Now, you see, Chair, the thing that concerns me is that if you suspend somebody, you will perhaps find a somebody who has the necessary muscle to fight back the suspension. But then you also have the type of person that will say that, look, man, I don't have the appetite to go into a protracted fight. And these are the aspects, Chair, that I say, with due respect, are contributing to the poor performance of the department in general. And we are now questioning the acting DG for something that he had no hand in. So, Chairperson, all I'm asking the department, be upfront with us. Tell us honestly what is going on in your department, so that remedies can be found. Otherwise, Chairperson, we will find that we will be leading this country and especially the agriculture department into a situation, Chair, where food security will be heavily compromised. And that is a situation which is too ghastly to contemplate. Finally, Chair, I would like to know that what are the latest figures in terms of employment within the agricultural sector. I want to make it bold to say that we are losing work opportunities in the agricultural sector on a daily basis. And that is happening for a variety of reasons. The Department of Rural Development has gone out to go and buy up farms like no man's business. And what happens, Chair, and I'll show it in black and white, where they tell those farmers from whom they buy their farms, that we've got a strategic partner who will be running this farm, and we don't need your workers. And I had always thought, Chair, that the first principle in the department buying up land, agricultural productive land, was to see that the workers are accommodated. And that is not happening in several of these cases. And I have written proof of that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Mrs. Parr?
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on page, this is the clarity chapter, on page 72, of the midterm document, where the report says that 165 permit and rights holders were reviewed for compliance with policies and prescripts. But on page 65, slide on page 65 of the presentation, we get a report that says a total number of 74 permit and right holders were reviewed for compliance with policies and prescripts. Now I would like to know what is the difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start off with something that Honourable Abrams just asked, and it's just out of interest that I just received a question from the Department of Labour on farm workers, and the answer to that question said in 2008-09 there were 790,000 farm workers in South Africa, and currently there's 610,000, so we've lost almost, how many is it, 150,000 in 2 years, Chair. And also, just on that, I've just read a report this morning where the African group of, or the committee that deals with farmers going into Africa said that there's now an average of 60 farmers a month finding out about possibilities of farming into Africa. And in the last 2 weeks, that increased to about 100 people that asked about possibilities moving into Africa. Chairperson, also it reminded me of our discussion that we had a while ago when we discussed with trade and industry, or we were supposed to discuss with trade and industry our trade partnerships into the world, that our farmers are unequally having to trade in the world where other countries are heavily subsidizing farmers. And in South Africa, farmers must do the best they can under the circumstances in actually a country which is not agricultural friendly, if we look at our soil and rain and all other things. So, Chair, when I went through this presentation, I want to agree with Honorable Honourable Avram, that I think I get the sense that the DG is trying to get things into perspective. I was not happy in the past about the strategic plan, about the reports that we get. I know, and I did it when I was on the land reform portfolio. At one stage, I just said to them, I'm at the point where I don't even open the paperwork chair. And I think because the reason why we can say things like that is when we get on the ground, it's totally something different. And I was phoned by the newspaper reporter about the tractors, and I explained to them how the tractor and mechanization process worked. So I knew that the tractors were still standing there in the Northern Cape specifically, because that was the last time that I was phoned. And it's things like that, Chair, that makes me, when I come to this committee, to look at the paperwork and think to myself, we are sitting here week in and week out discussing paperwork. And Chair, I know why we are discussing paperwork, because I have to say this here, we don't have an agricultural plan. What is the plan? I asked it when we discussed cost and land care and the other things the last time. To look at a budget for land care, that is, I don't even know what is the budget for land care now, it's somewhere in there. When we sit with vast tracts of land, chairperson, that we know over years have been left to get to a stage that you can't actually farm it. You have to do drastic things to get it into to a state that you can actually use it again. And then when we get strategic plans, reports, and mid-year reports, and I don't see how we talk to what is happening on the ground, chairperson. I want the DG and the department to go back and start from the vision and look at the vision, because the vision says something about employment. Employment must be secondary. The vision must be to create an environment to farm. If we create that environment, we will create jobs. But you can't say to create jobs is part of your vision. Chairperson, so I would really urge the department to look at this and look at it from a perspective that agriculture in South Africa is currently really facing a crisis. And it's not only just coming out in the last 2 weeks with the farm worker strike. The whole thing of what is happening at the moment came over years and years and years. And what is the role of the Department of Agriculture in creating an environment that makes it easy for people, anyone, black and white, small and big, to farm in South Africa? And if this program that we have linked to that, is it moving in a direction that we can all say we are going to work together to achieve A, B, and C? Chair, and I've spent a whole lot of time speaking to people in the last few months. And if I ask anyone in South Africa, small farmer, big farmer, any farmer, what is the policy for agriculture in South Africa? They don't know. I don't know. I don't know what is it that we want to achieve. We're putting programs in place to spend the budget, Chair, and I will repeat that, and I will repeat that until I am satisfied that that's not what we want to do. And I can see that there is some movement towards that, because we have to integrate what is happening in the provinces to what our national plan and strategy is. But if we don't have a clear national plan, the provinces can't follow suit. The national department must say, this is our plan and program. For you to be able to interact into our plan and program, this is what must happen. Chair, I will just take the example of the mechanization, which we all know is a disaster. It's because national did not have a proper plan in place. The provinces are sitting today with the practice and the implement there, and they're not sure how to implement it. And I see I get looks that doesn't agree with what I'm saying, but I'm not convinced, Chairperson, that we have a proper plan for agriculture. And it must include everything. How do we deal with our land? How do we deal with the maize planting and all of those things, that so that that can fit into our programs, and that our programs is not just only based on achieving certain targets. We must have an outcome. We must know after 10 years this is what we want to have, and we must work backwards to that. And I want to ask the department, please, next year when you come with your annual strategic plan, link all the programs to your vision and your outcome, so that we can also sit down and say we are happy, we want to see this at the end of the year or even at the end of 5 years, so that we can start measuring from there on, because we are not winning at the moment. Chairperson, and just on the question specifically, there was things on the stakeholder relationship where SMS people were linked to commodities. Can we get a list from the department which of the people are linked to which commodity with the contact details, so that we can also assist when there's questions regarding that. Then on communication and information, I spoke about the website last time. I don't see any real movement on our website of the department, if that's part of the strategy, and how far are we on that. Then on the existing policies that's being renewed, if we can just find out what is the progress so far, because we can't get all these changes that must be made to our existing policies all at once, because we will be unable to process any laws and things that come. So if we can, one of the things which is just existing policies and I think laws, that those are the ones that have been taken to the university, the act that's being reviewed. If we can get a progress report on how far we are, and Chair, as soon as something comes up that we can look at, that it comes to Parliament to be processed, so that we don't get dumped in 1 year with 15 acts that must be reviewed. Just the schedule of that. Then, Chairperson, we've asked that when the entities were here, the quarterly economic reports and weekly price watch reports and all those reports, if we can get that, it will also assist us, because it's also we now have to go into the department website and look for these things, and it's not always so easy to find them. Then on early detection and the action time specifically on animal diseases, whether all monies were paid out to the people that I know last time I spoke to some people in the ostrich industry, there were still monies outstanding. I just want to find out from the department if all the money was paid, or if there's still people that's still not being paid. And Chairperson, I also got a very worrying report from one of the farmers, and I can get that report to the acting DG, where it was found that the guy's ostriches were slaughtered, and after a review it looked like he didn't have the N5H2 or whatever, the one that you slaughtered the ostriches for. So these animals were either wrongly tested, or there was a problem in the laboratory. So we need to get clarity on that. If we are slaughtering animals and then afterwards find out that they were not necessary to be slaughtered, it's going to cause huge problems. Chairperson, and then on the food production program, I think we must once and for all, and Honourable Abrams also asked about it, find out, are we on zero hunger, are we on Matibambisani, are we on what are we, so that we know what is the program, and that we also get a policy as this portfolio. What is it that we are doing on the food production program, and how does the CAF and ILIMA LITSIMA and all the funding link into that? so that we can see what is being spent on these programs specifically in each province also. Then, Chair, I'm very worried about one comment that was made about funding not transferred to the agricultural colleges. What is the reason for that, and how do we get that sorted out? What is the plans in place? And then just last week, Chairperson, the DG just mentioned something about a problem regarding funding from Land Bank for the planting. It's a comment that was just went in passing, and I want to find out from the DG what is going on, because planting season is now. So if there's a problem in Land Bank funding, what is the problem, and is there anything that we can do about it? And then just lastly, Chair, what was the last question? I'm so concerned that we are not, or I don't see that in our programs, the working together, especially with land reform, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. Because if I get on the ground, I always hear rural development and land reform involvement. And I don't see clearly where Department of Agriculture is involved in the, especially land reform farms. And that program and working together, because I keep on saying that the Department of Agriculture must be solely responsible to buy the land. And from that moment that they start negotiations, the Department of Agriculture must get involved in ensuring that all these small-scale farmers and all the other targets and the training and everything else that needs to happen must be the role of the Department of Agriculture. They can't leave the Department of Rural Development alone to ensure that the land, after being purchased, becomes productive. So I want to see that link. I don't see it. I don't know if you mention the small-scale farmers and all these numbers. Where is the link to land reform? If we can get that specifically in future, it would be appreciated. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Van der?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look at the budgets and the targets, and I think that the targets that have been set for you in your department are your biggest problem. These targets look like, you know, they should be, they are more output-based than outcomes-based. It just measures what you do, but it doesn't measure the consequences it has to the outside. So, and when one set targets, it's, you have a budget and you set targets, and then you promise that I will reach these targets with the budget I have. I think that's the way it usually works. But then you don't reach these targets, and if you don't reach these targets, you fail. And you seem to be failing quite a lot as a department. And what are we going to do to rectify it? What the targets and the indicators, they don't speak to each other. It looks like somebody was very clever. He set targets that nobody can measure, so nobody could find out he wasn't doing his work, you know, so everybody could just say, you know, and this is going to come back to haunt you unless you sit down and you get your department together and you work out measurable targets. Otherwise, you're not going to fix this problem. I mean, targets that speaks to outcomes, that you can change people's lives with. That is what needs to be measured. You talk about on this full-time employment and job opportunities. I can explain it easily. A job opportunity is one person working for one day. A full-time employment is somebody working for a year that has a salary, that has benefits. This is what we are looking for. I mean, we want to have people in decent jobs. Just one job for one day is not a decent job. I mean, it might feed the people for a week, but then they are hungry again, you know. So a full-time employment would be the one that we would be targeting, and that would be the thing that we need to measure. Then you change people's lives. One person working for one day doesn't change people's lives. It helps them relieve a week's problems, but that is all. And then you talk about the establishing of fishing harbors, and you don't know whose responsibility that actually is. I look at the Constitution, at 4B of the Constitution, and then it says it's actually local government or provincial government's duty, but there's no legislation in place to enact it. So if that is a fact, if that is true, then your department should sit down and draft a law that would give effect to it. I mean, you talk about establishing another harbor. There are 12 fishing harbors, and they are not well maintained. There are sunken vessels in there for 5 or 6 years already, and nobody knows whose job it is. Please tell me whose responsibility is it, or whose responsibility you think it is. I mean, the Hout Bay Harbor is just one. And what are we going to do to rectify the problem? You know, it's all right to say there's a problem, but come up with a solution to the problem, not that in 10 years' time we sit with the same problem, because then we have failed again. So, and then you talk about the recovery study and program. You say, you know, there's a decline in the biomass. We heard that last week. It was said that poaching is out of control, and it was said that we are losing the battle. That have raised a lot of concerns with me. Because, I mean, if that is so that the biomass is declining and poaching is increasing, why is the TAC staying the same? What recovery plan are you then working on? It just does not make sense. So, you know, Mass 101 tells me that if what is there is becoming less and it gets more stolen, then we need to, you know, we need to protect it somehow. Close the season or shorten the... or make the TAC lower. I mean, if you don't do it, it's quite criminal. There's a law that says you must do it. And if you don't do it, that's a criminal act. And if I can prove it, I will make a case at the police for it. Or I'll take it to the public protector if we don't do that. There's newspaper articles today saying that in 2035, there will be no more stocks of perlemoen or crayfish to be taken out of the sea. Because this program is now, it says that unless we do something, and that is with a lot of the work that has already been done in place, so it's definitely not working. We should take a hard stand on it, and it's very disturbing. You also say that we are, again, losing the fight on protecting our natural resources. It's one of your strategic goals. What plans are in place to rectify it? Are we putting more budget to those people that are trying to protect? Because there are good people out there trying to catch those thieves and those criminals. But do they have the right tools and the right skills to do it? I mean, you can't just employ a lot of people and say now they are going. These need to be experts. These people need to know how to catch criminals, need to know how to look at syndicates, how you catch a syndicate, how you take it to court, how you get a conviction. It can't just be anybody. I mean, obviously you need a lot of people to help them. You need to resource them. And it doesn't seem like that is happening at the moment. And you need to set targets for them. Targets that are specific to the job of reducing the poaching of the abalone and the crayfish. You can't set targets like you must have lunch once a day. And you can't set targets like you must, only work from 9 to 4 in the afternoon. This is a full-time job. These people don't stop at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They steal right through the night. That's the time when they steal the most, but there is no overtime budget or there is not a shift system in place. Everybody goes home at 4 o'clock. It just doesn't work like that. You can't just lock up shop and then not do anything. So I suggest you come with a specific plan to this committee and you tell us what you are going to do and which targets you are going to give to these people, and you work it in their job description. And if they don't do it, well, then they're obviously not the right people to do the job. But there are a lot of, and I say again, a lot of committed people out there. I have met some of them. I have seen them at working. And I think that more should be done, and money should be allocated to it. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with the administrative aspects. I want to check one with the DG In particular, as it relates to vacancies at senior management level, senior and middle management, because seemingly this has been an ongoing problem in terms of us really maintaining and reaching the targets or addressing this problem. Is there a mechanism that we've put in place? Because consistently this year, the response of the department was that we get people on and then they leave. It's one of the problems. But what is our strategy in using our internal capacity? Look, considering identifying people within the department to fill the strategic vacancies. And what is the output if we will have a training program? Our officials, really, you see, I'm asking this, I was informed of the performance report of the Department of Education, where higher education just said, our officials don't want to go to school, and to an embarrassment, higher education officials do not want to go to school. Now, what is your situation in terms of the Department of Agriculture? Are officials ready to empower themselves, for them to occupy these responsibilities that because of scarce skills they can't? Do you have the same problem as the people in higher education? Within the same thing, what effect does this have in terms of performance and your rate for the department to employ consultants? Because if you do not have people who occupy the thing, some other people have to do it in the meantime. Does this contribute that you'll have more consultants doing consultants work on behalf of the department? The customer services offices, I'm very interested to the one in PE. The first question I'm going to ask, I want to know this office, where is it in Port Elizabeth? Really, I want to know because myself and the chairperson, it will be very glad that we do consistent visits as people from PE to help you improve performance. In this office in Port Elizabeth, is it an office? You know, now when you talk customer service, I remind of just people that you call. They are not necessarily the officials of departments. They're just a service provider there. If you ask things, they say, no, we're not responsible for those decisions. I was talking about offices like that, outsource people who communicate the packages, the information. Or are these offices, this satellite office in Port Elizabeth, an office where you can go and get the packages that the department offers? If you want to apply for funding, want to apply for you want a farm, you want all sort of other packages that the department might have. Now, if you go there, is it a reliable office that can provide adequate information? In PE, are there identified projects that this office, which is called customer service, is going to be responsible to run and monitor? That's what I want to know. You spoke within the report about reviewing, monitoring, and evaluation. Just briefly to me, because you are saying that you have challenges in relation to that, I want to know already, within the context of what other ordinary members were saying, meeting targets, target that, target this, and so on and so on, what are you really introducing different in terms of the MNE? Do you have an existing structured MNE program that does not only look into what head office is doing, but even from your extension officers and the work that you are doing in the ground? Does that program you're talking about going to look deep into the ordinary level extension office on the ground, which its intention is to make sure it coordinates the activity that the department will do? What is your plan in terms within that context of improving provincial coordination. If you listen to some of the things that Honorable Abrams was also talking about, are there plans to improve provincial coordination? Because we've been complaining that we believe that there's a very big gap in terms of provincial coordination. I'm more for Port Elizabeth today, the Eastern Cape. Is that their plans? I've seen that there are fish farms like that you're talking about here. Are there plans to have some initiative in fish farms in the area of Port Elizabeth that you're planning? DG, last comment. I was so embarrassed to hear in the House that the President was not aware that, but I didn't want to call him out of order because the President, when I raised a question about a comment about the Afrikaner and the Ellen Kuzwa, and I used a metaphor, and I think he didn't understand even a metaphor. But I was so embarrassed when I could learn that he didn't even understand that we have this problem of the Afrikaner, which is not sailing. You just spoke about things that are happening on TV, but I didn't understand what he was saying. How do you communicate with the President when, who's responsible to inform the President the crisis we have in relation to some of the things we have, particularly the things we raised? Like, if you're talking about patrolling vessels, you're talking about this data that is, vessel that is supposed to protect data. Who's supposed to brief the President? Now, just think that the minister was supposed to brief the President, but how do we correct that misunderstanding? Who really can I go to and say, can you inform the President that we have this crisis, and who really can we go to for the President? Because it's an embarrassment for the nation when the first person does not understand issues that relate to one, protection of the Republic, and also that issues that relate to the information that is supposed to inform our development. Therefore, I'm saying I want to appeal just as a comment, even if you don't respond. Somebody should at least try to correct that or inform the President of the crisis that we are faced with in relation to the African. Thank you.
I also didn't want to call you to order on that one.
Because you want to defend the President.
No. It's about this is a matter of that belongs to the minister or the department. To an extent, you know, if you ask any leader of any party to inform you about what is going on in your branch, that's unfair. Until that person is informed, either the leader of that party or that president. So we really cannot get there. But that's the point I'm trying to get at. Such as that at the end of the day, matters of that nature, and we all know full well that they belong to a minister. It can only be a minister that informs us. It can only be you that informs the leader of your party of what is going on in your specific branch, for that matter. But that's the point I'm trying to raise. So that we are together as we move forward.
I'm trying to say that my plea is very simple. That the people responsible to inform the President should do so.
That's
because remember what we're discussing. We're discussing the African Maritime Strategy. Then I raised the issue within the context of the South African strategy. Therefore, the President could have been ready. I don't want us to discuss the President here, but I'm saying the people who are supposed to inform the President must inform. If the President have to get the information, must get the information.
Let's okay. That should be the understanding here, members. I mean, frankly speaking, you can raise a matter that belongs to your branch. And certainly Mrs. Bill would not be knowing what is going on in your branch. So that's the point I'm trying to raise. Until you inform her of what is going on in your branch, so to speak, which is basically what we're trying to do. Unless Mrs. Zill is not informed, only then that Mr. Van Halen will inform her. And that's generally how it works. Without really getting any debate on this one, I just thought it was indirectly getting to say to Mr. Banga, I did not want to call you to order, but you are out of order, to be quite frank, to bring it into a meeting of this nature. Mama Paliso, Masan. Sorry, Mama Paliso. Mama noted.
Thank you,
Chairperson. Acting DG, the fisheries program 6. There is a lack of reporting on the establishment of smallholder producer association. I just want clarity, is this associations, the SMMEs, or is there going to be additional establishment of a smallholder producer association, and what is the timeline thereof? The fishing vessels monitored by vessel monitoring system. The first question I have is how many vessels does the department have as Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries? How many do you have under your control? And how many vessels are not agriculture controlled? And this is a government of integration. It's a government that works with integrated approach. Those vessels that are not vessels of agriculture, forestry and fisheries, what is the working relationship amongst those of what you are going to inform me, where are they located? The inspection of fish processing establishment, both land-based and sea-based. Which establishments are we talking about, DJ? I just want to be clear on this one, because from where I'm sitting, the inspectors are very thin. They are very thin along the coastline. One struggles to get those inspectors. You struggle to get hold of them, and I want to know, do we have now more inspectors that are doing this inspection, and where are these establishments, processing establishments? And do those processing establishments accommodate your small quota holders or your small right holders, even the interim right holders, because they catch just for from the hand to the mouth, they don't make any profit. The performance reviews of right holders in the inshore and offshore fisheries. My question here, DJ, and my concern, the performance review, is it a one-size-fits-all?
the question relates to what I've just said about your small rights owners. They really don't have the necessary equipment. And that's why I'm asking, is the performance reviews going to be a one-size-fits-all? Because it doesn't give me that clarity in the targets that are going to be reached and the report, PG. And Page 59, the harbour of Fort Nolloth. From where I'm sitting, I was part of those negotiations. Years and years and years, PG. For me, it seems to me, when I read it here, it's not so long ago that the department was informed about this, because the name identified for the area was Boegoberg in the Namakwaland Corridor report, the SDI report of Economic Affairs of the Northern Cape, of Dave Perkins. That's how well I can remember it. We would like to be furnished with details as this committee. Because when I read it here, it's clear to me this is far from being started, or it is far from starting to be developed. Although it is in the Northern Cape Growth Development Plan. The anti-poaching, did you let me inform the department? Firstly, we don't get hold of those inspectors during December holidays. When it is December holidays, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at the farm, I have to come to the coast because poaching is a drive from the holiday people who comes with deep freezes to come and poach rock lobster along the west coast. West in Hermanus. That's the time the big fishes who've got the money for big vessels come and poach while we are making noise about the smaller ones who their rights were taken away by the 2005 rights allocation. We are making noise about them. What about the vessels that takes the millions of abalone poaching, being millions taken away from South Africa? Those who were turned back from Hong Kong. There are these holiday people who are poaching with fridges. Those inspectors, what are their job descriptions? Are they not available during the day? Do you have night shift workers? Because to my knowledge, I'm working night shift with police, patrolling the coast. And I'm not a police officer, but because of loving my country and because of protecting the species, I go with those police forums and those sector policing people and those women against crime. I go, I join them. And that's why I'm informed of what is happening along the coast at Fiji. And what about the seals? Those seals are also poachers. What is the strategy in the department about the poachers who are the seals? Because from where I'm staying, I'm 100 kilos away from the spot where the seals are poaching on a very, very, very high volume. Snook, hotnut fish, and rock lobster. What is the strategy of the department? Because these are lacking in the report, even in the annual report, FDG. That's my take. I submit.
நம்ம ஃபீலிஸ் மசான் லாஸ்ட்லி ஓகே.
Thanks for checking. Thank you. Excellent. I will start on page 41. Where it talks about the cooperatives. The challenge there is that people, they don't realize the importance of cooperatives. My question is, what needs to happen to these people who doesn't know the importance? They must be helped. And how should this government go to help them to realize the importance of the cooperatives? And on page 7. No, these are the vacancies which we have dealt with them the last time and others. On page 8, there are four provinces. That is the actual, the review, monitoring, evaluation, and reporting. Only four provinces appear here. My question is that what happened? What is happening with the five? And on page 11, because always Acting DG, your ticket doesn't go together with the actual. And here, your challenges is like some farmers do not meet the credit criteria. My teacher is competing with grants, e.g. cooperatives, incentives, and so. And my question there is, who is responsible to educate these people, to teach them how this Marquisha grant operates? And on page 12, also I'm worried about the target and the actual there, especially the 30,000 subsistence and the 109,197 subsistence producers supported. My worry is these are some of the things maybe which meet the funds not to work the way they should. Because if you want to help 10 people, but you end up helping 100, there it involves the budget there. I just want to find out where does the money comes from. Instead of 30,000, then it goes to 109. On page 17. On page 17. Okay, somebody was Honorable Banga. I wanted to talk about these offices, but there is no challenges. Whereas you are still planning, the planning is still on stage to create this other seven, but there you said there is no challenges. But my colleague has already dealt with the... let's go to page 90. The actual... it says the final number of acts and bills to be reviewed are 25. My question there is, when
bills be reviewed.
The 29 national extension, we talked about it last time. I don't want to repeat. Just go maybe lightly, let's go to page 28. This is still is the targets, the indicators and the targets. Quarterly press report on regulatory compliance and monitoring intervention was compiled. It means there it speaks about the liquor products bill. It was supposed to be 4. There it means 3 is still lagging behind. But you don't challenge it. There is nothing under challenges. And many of your explanation here, indicators, targets, the actual, you'll find that there are no challenges. Whereas you did not reach your targets there, but you said there is no challenges. And if you, it goes on and on and on and on. According to me, if something, the target is not met, there must be challenges. There must be challenges. And most of your things here, the challenges are just the play. But the targets are not met. Thank you.
Mr. Kela, and then last, Mama Nyalongo.
Thank you, Chairperson. KG, one must thank you for being frank in your report. But however, there are some targets that are not reported during this media review. However, they do appear on the report. I'll just two of them, the land and air border inspection. The second one is a review of the economic research and analysis report on the South Coast Rock Lobster and KZN poultry. And Chairperson, the issue of intergovernmental relation is very important here. You know, we always blame you, but as long as you don't address, as long as this is not addressed, we'll always have a problem. For instance, you transfer money into CASP, but you are dependent on the provinces. And the truth of the matter is that we, government, and the taxpayers don't get value for money on that. That is quite true, and we said that on many occasions. And one would like you to take this up with your principles, the political leaders, because this is just a waste of money. In reality, it's a waste of money. Because you get some of these projects that are sent to these 9 homelands. In fact, 9 homeland chapters, that's the truth of it, are being misused either politically or to for some people's interests. Then there's also the issue of agriculture in the rural areas, trout farming in the rural areas. What have you got? What plan have you got to assist those communities? Because if you look at fishery, really, it's basically a Western Cape, a Cape Town thing. I don't want to politicize the chapters, but that's the truth of the matter. Let us be fair to each other. You stay in PE. Have you ever heard of proper fishery from PE going right down to the... No. There is none. Everything is just concentrated in certain areas. And before, there used to be good trout farming in those areas. So it is something that you need to address, DG. I'm not expecting to address it now. Then the issue of poaching. There's a lot of poaching going in those coastal areas. Port St. John's, Gazan, and all those. Have you got a hotline on poaching? Is there somebody we can get you on a hotline on poaching. Does the department have a hotline on that? Then lastly, no, not last. I'm just starting. Let me be like a prophet today as well. I think, Jefferson, the issue of subsidies for farming, for agriculture is very important. You know, we get farmers, whether they're small or big, we compete with the EU farmers who are subsidized by their country. And it is something that needs to be taken up politically, because it's a political decision, something that needs to be taken up. Agriculture needs to be subsidized, and then also the budget that is non-existent on agriculture. Then can we go to page 31 just briefly? Gigi, you talked of you need to have a partnership with the rural development. Is this formed, or is this going to be formed? And also on page 31, the MOU with IDT, when will that be signed? Then we go to page 35. The budgetary constraints, how are you going to address that to improve the social working relationship between these provinces? Because it needs to be addressed. What are your plans to address it? Yes, I can see here, in your channel, you say budget concern, but what are the plans to address it? Can you just take us in your confidence in that one, please? Page 46, 47. The increment of investment in agriculture, whether private or public, what are the plans on that? Because if you remember very well, Jefferson, I once brought the issue of the small sawmills who couldn't get trees, and the DDG helped them. Thank you very much, DDG, Chipetra. But it's an ongoing problem where the demand is there for trees. What are the plans? You know, we need to come up with plans, because this affects jobs of many people. But as I say again, Chairperson, we want to thank the DDG, because it assisted those people. But what are the future plans of deforesting this, either public or private? Then page 49. No, that talks to the same thing, 51. Then the land care. One is concerned here on the land care. You were supposed to create 130 full-time equivalent, but you've only created 14. What are the reasons for that? And, you know, if you really, again, you go down to our areas, you see the degrading of land. It's bad. So what are their reasons? Because this can create jobs to Jefferson. You see, the problem here, Jefferson, is that people from the age of 40, between 40 and age 65, they cannot get pensions. They lose work from the mines. Then they sit and they don't have any work. So is this land care can help employing those unemployed people who are losing their jobs at the mine, and also the widows of miners. So, have you got a plan? What are the plans? Whether you do it through EPWP for these land care projects, those longers. You know, if you go to, you know, where that World Growers conference was, just across there, you saw the longers, the big ones, you know. So, what plans have you got for that? And that is page irrigation schemes. Your indicators are 1,250.
I mean, your target is 250,000. You say you've done the 62,000 hectares in KwaZulu-Natal. One wants to see the spread of resources through the country. We need to spread these resources. Whether if there are few resources, but one does not see that these resources are spread equally, you know, through these different homelands, what I call homelands, because they are homelands anyway. But if you can do whatever, these 9 provinces which are homeless, they're not better than any homeless and homeless. Let us be fair, there's no service delivery, there's nothing happening. But one wants to see the spread. What is the spread on the other provinces? Yes, you see KwaZulu-Natal, what about the other provinces? Then let's go to, that is 55. 72. The chairman was reporting on finances. You say that the property management, you are waiting on the property. What are you waiting for the property? It's not here. Because as far as civil agriculture committee is complaining that you do not pay them their rent and they invoice you. What are you waiting for? That is a report that I have from agriculture, that the department doesn't pay their rent. So what are you then waiting for from public works? Can you just explain to us, please? That is page 72. It's bold there. Claims in the frame of claim mentioned from department are waited. And as far as my report is, which I got in my office from public works, the claims were you were invoiced and you didn't pay. What are you waiting for then? Thank you.
Mama, Nyalong.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on page 21. You said 45 emergent poultry farmers were taken to AVN after the conference. I just want to check. According, sorry? Okay. Good, okay. Thank you, Chair. I said mine is on page 21, whereby you're talking about 45 emergent poultry farmers. They were taken to the AVI Africa conference. According to your monitoring and evaluation, is there any progress after this AVI Africa conference? Because according to my knowledge, you are importing more chickens out of the country. So if there is any change, I think there will be a decrease of importing chickens. And then here on also on that page, 200 farmers participated in the Ghana Fasayado Home Scheme. Is this scheme take place in all provinces or in some of the provinces? And then you said when I read to your midterm, the programs within the department where you were expected to have spent 50% of allocated funds, and in fisheries you only managed to spend 43.6%. Can you explain why is that the case? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members. If I were to chip in, you know, reading this report or his reports, I'm looking for specifics, you know, to me that talk to the point raised by Mama State. What is our vision? Granted, talking about IGDP, mid-2012, you're supposed to have adopted that. That's in accordance with your strat plan. To an extent, your IGDP is to be informed by the National Development Plan. And that national development plan equally has to take into cognizance the fact that we are signatories to the Millennium Development Goals. We are equally signatories to the AU Maputo Declaration, each African country has to talk 10% of its budget, agricultural budget, from its national budget, as it were. For me, having listened to the reports and having heard the format that you have currently, program one, program two, and so on and so forth, to an extent, it really gives you a lot of administration, which then begs a question related to recently your annual report tells you of 99% of your budget having been expended upon. And when having to measure that with any impact on changing that ordinary life of a person, then we are stuck. Which then pose a major question for me as to the format of us that we follow as a department. Program one, program two, which really has a lot of administration to it. Very little being said about any changes in this, because the issue for me that I'm very keen on is more about the impact all of this has on that life of that ordinary person. For instance, if you have to talk about a program on caste, for that matter, we've said here umpteen times, if you have to talk about caste, any such support for those small scale growers, whether it is agriculture or food or fisheries or forestry, we should be able to hear you saying, we have been able, out of hundreds of those that shall have been supported, we now have 10 that are commercial. And whether you do have those measures in place, your MNE division, that shall really be able to say to us, we are making a dent. I'm not hearing much of that, save for, you know, the much of your administrative issues raised in the department. I'm saying to myself, and this one other person asking me a question, yeah, a piece of land, Mr. Fanga, all over when you drive across the country. In the midst of poverty, big pieces of land, you know, we drive past them, and yet we complain and say our country is poverty stricken. And the Millennium Development Goals, among others, 2015, half poverty, or rather poverty and halving of unemployment. Whether we shall be able to make such strides from where we are sitting, without really having to, you know, reinvent the wheel. North of Pondoland, big tracts of land. There used to be sugarcane farming there. Because of minor infights among those communities, that land is literally lying fallow as we speak now. Very productive piece of land. And the industry is very keen to come and say, come, let's resuscitate this project. Get the land ready, we plant. And what becomes our role? Those, in your language, I would imagine, are supposed to be low-hanging fruits. All what you do is simply get in there, talk to the communities, they are fine with you. The industry says, 50 million rand per annum that can literally go to those communities.
if you were to start plantation, 6-0, in the midst of poverty that we're talking about, Magua Tea Plantation, dead, quiet. The irrigation schemes in Noha, Kamata, you name them. Beautiful infrastructure. Out there literally getting, you know, damaged, vandalized, you name it. There are houses there. We went there the other day of your extension service officers. Empty, vandalized. Nothing is going on. The other day we were listening to reports that Rural Development and Land Reform were keen to come in there to assist in that irrigation, in reviving those schemes. Now, for me, I'm not so much worried about all these figures and, you know, how many people are employed and whether, you know, fisheries, you know, is here and there. Here is land that is readily there available. What do we do? Instead of having to really talk for an hour here, getting to say to yourself at the end, what are we really achieving here at the end of the day? Zero. Because the main issue that I'm having here is that, again, with the many farmers that are going out north of Africa, these are people whom we can easily attract to these many pieces of land. I mean, there at Magua, that beautiful place with tea production, it would have been a high of activity in that area. And people from the Eastern Cape cry foul and say, what a poor rest, and they plead poverty all the time. And yet they are there with gold in front of their own eyes. The National Department is literally expected to go there and say, here is the gold. Make it work. Can only be in your best of favor as a province. There are a number of other examples elsewhere in the country. Pieces of land lying fallow out there. Yet, there is a mist of poverty that we always romanticize about all the time. I'm really, you know, saying to myself, members here, since 2009, we've been talking about the same old problem. We're not seeing any forward movement whatsoever. It is really becoming sickening, to be really frank about it. It's as if, for me, we can just think outside of a box called program one, program two, and so on and so forth, and be able to say, what is our vision here? What informed our vision? What are the programs that must talk to that vision? To understand, if you have to say how many thousands of jobs and farmers and farms and so on by whatever year, cascade those down to annual targets, so that you see as whether you are making a difference. Out of 500, year one, how many and how much are you going to achieve? Year two, so that we can see a difference. Otherwise, the manner and the extent in which we are really going on, it is serious not taking us anywhere. I mean, yeah, you have your forests that have been privatized. Public enterprise has 10% of those privatized forests belonging to those communities. Those communities are supposed to have been paid for by that department. MTO is an example. Currently having bought that asset for 23 million rand. Now that asset being valued at 500 over million rand. How much can those communities really do with that 10% of 500
million rand per annum. Dividends being declared. The difference that those communities, that money can make to those communities. We're not listening, we're not being listened, we're not hearing anything. These are straightforward, as far as I'm concerned, issues that we're supposed to be dealing with. We really change words and expression of terms, you know, all the time, one report after another. I'm frustrated.
I think that was our input to the DG, because it's already 1 o'clock now. He's heard our inputs, and let him go sit down and see what can he do. We've been saying this for years, Jameson. So from 2009, I don't even expect an answer, Mama Miriam. It's our inputs. We're giving him his inputs, and let's release him now. Thank you.
Is that the feeling of other members?
Yeah.
Mr. Brown? Chairperson, you see, the problem is that you have summed up the frustration of all of us.
Yeah.
I think what we need now, Chair, and I think when Mr. Ntombela appeared here, I think for the first or the second time in his new capacity, I asked, can we have an Ntombela vision? How does the acting DG see taking this department forward? Now, Chairperson, we have now come to the end of the year. We'll only be getting together around about February. So I think for all the officials here, sufficient time to ponder and to come back and to say that the chairperson was almost in tears. All of us are. Almost in tears, Chair. Because when you see opportunities passing our country by, and things not happening, Chair, it's our beloved country. As Alan Payton said, cry the beloved country. You see, the exercise that we indulged in today, Chair, is basically just a sort of a formality. And there's nothing concrete in it. And that's why I said earlier, Chair, we cannot put all the blame at the door of the current leadership of the department. They inherited a vehicle where the nuts and bolts are not just loose, many of them disappear. It's a rickety vehicle, it doesn't operate functionally. Optimally, and unless there is the will, the commitment, not only of the departmental officials, Chair, but I should make bold to say, even the political heads, you've got two of them, the minister and the deputy minister, unless all of them are prepared to come out and say, listen guys, this is how we are going to do it, bring your proposals, and let's work on them. We visited Chairperson in the previous term of this Parliament. We visited, I think from Queenstown it was about 25, 30 kilometers, an irrigation scheme, I think you referred to the same one, where those homes of the extension offices, the walls are standing, everything else is gone, Chair. Now, I can't understand, Chair, that we have spent millions of taxpayers' money. We've got the infrastructure there. We've allowed the infrastructure to go to the dogs. I'm made to understand that when it was the former Transkei, it was operating optimally. I think there's about 20, 25 kilometers from there. There's a massive dam. I've forgotten names now. And the water was pumped from there. Chairperson, the old Transkei, the Eastern Cape, has the God-given water
I've said it before, Chair, that in this department there is an official who did a study, and that document, I think the older people that were here in the department before will know, I think Mr. Kenter should know, Art van Koller, who did a study, Chair, of the water potential in this whole country which can be turned into irrigation. And one day, Chair, I did a member statement in the previous parliament, perhaps you heard it, where I said that this is the kind of potential that we have. And the Minister of Finance at that time sent me a note. He said, but why does the Department of Agriculture not come and talk about these things so that we can find the money for it? We can turn this country, Chairperson, into a breadbasket. We can become a net importer of food. You heard now that I think it was, what, 2008, 2009, according to Mrs. Steyn, total employment in the agricultural sector, 790,000. Now, 610. Let me tell you, Chair, next year, brace yourself, it'll be 550. You can write it down in your diary. Because, Chair, somewhere along the line, there's a blockage. These officials are not allowed to think out of the box. We cannot have a tunnel vision, Chair. We have to revolutionize agriculture. And we can do it, Chair. This country has the potential. In the same study, Chair, towns, I understand that the water table is so high that you virtually just dig a couple of, not even meters, and you'll find water gushing. If you can harness all these things, Chair, it means large-scale infrastructure development. And we are tinkering around, Chair, whilst Rome is burning. All I'm saying, Chair, is that at my age of 72, I've for the last 10, 12 years pleaded in the Agriculture Committee for the department to start thinking out of the box. And if there are budgets required, Chair, we should put those requirements before the fiscus, before the treasury, so that they can start prioritizing those things. If we don't do that, Chair, we will be guilty of having let down the next generation and the one after that. We have to start thinking out of the box, Chair. So I second what you said. I second what Mr. Gaylor said, that let the DG have the opportunity. I want to re-emphasize, Chair, he is new in this position, but my problem is that he's only an acting DG. I don't know how long will it take. It's now 5 months since the previous DG was suspended and he's gone shortly after that. 5 months when the department does not have job security. And I don't blame them, Chair. I must be fair as a human being. How do I expect somebody who is not sure whether he's got his job next week or not to put everything into the job? That is your first priority, Chair, in any business, in any department. And there must be job security, Chair. Unless you have that, you are not going to get any official putting optimum work into it, Chair. And there should also be a bit of a free rein. Senior management people should be placed in a position where they don't have to look over the shoulder all the time. They must have the freedom to be able to take this country on a new trajectory. You saw that day the gentleman from the wool people who is in charge of turning fiber into something material. There are opportunities, Chair. What are we doing to grab all these people and bring them together and work out a plan for agriculture? Our stuff is going out of the country, Chair. You said at some stage, Chair, that we must create entrepreneurs. We have people in this country who are keen, Chair. They might not have this, but they've got this and the qualifications. What are we doing, Chair, to harness all that and take this country forward? If we don't do that, Chair, I repeat again, we will be found guilty by future generations of having failed them. And Chairperson, the poverty levels that we have in our country. Remember, there are 627,000 of our children who are writing matric exams now. Those that will be passing, Chair, how many will be able to get into tertiary education? How many of them will have their matric certificate and walk the streets trying to look for work? And how many of them are going to turn out something else? So we are sitting on a time bomb, Chair, and we should realize that. And all I say, Chair, is under your leadership, let us push forward and show that agriculture can do it. The National Development Plan has identified this sector, but this sector will not deliver, Chair, unless the sector is properly organized, unless it has stability in the department. When I say these things, perhaps people think that I'm a maverick. I'm not, Chair. I promise you, I'm very concerned about the generations to come and about the way we are going. We are getting nowhere, Chair. And unfortunately, Chair, the onus is on us. That is why I ask questions, Chair, that are intriguing. Because you see, Chair, when that bolt has gone loose and that bolt gets missing, I don't expect that wheel to function optimally. And those bolts, Chair, are the leadership in the department. You cannot have a situation where people act for harm. If you take this whole term, Chair, this whole five-year term, I mean, at the moment, 3.5 years. In this 3.5-year term, Chairperson, from, I think, September, is it 2010, as far as I remember correctly, right up to June this year, we had a DG. Other than that, we've had the Hollywood stage, everybody acts. You can't, Chairperson, run a State Department that way. And it's the nitty-gritty, Chair. If you don't look after your sins, they'll never become rents. And they will then never become thousands of rents. So it is the small things, Chair, that creates the long-term bigger problem. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity, Chair. I appreciate it.
Mr. Pandora?
I'm so glad that you are also seeing what we have been saying all the time, and you are just as frustrated as what we are. I have one comment to make, and that is that we need to go back to basics. There are good lessons that we have learned. There are things that are working. We don't have to write everything off, but we need to go back to basics and start from scratch. I mean, we have this big department, we have all these big plans, but nothing or very little of it is working. We are not reaching our targets. I mean, sometimes when you are failed, you start all over again. We need to start over again and then go and find the good things that are working and make it better and bigger. And you need the support of that. I mean, we can't just always hit you with a stick. We need to help you as well, you know. So, yeah, I don't know what to do, but we need to go back to basics and start from scratch again. Thank you.
Mr. Banga, you last one?
Chair, I think I don't want to say a lot, but what you said, I agree with. You see, in Cuba, if you spoke about the agricultural revolution, it was led by Castro and Che Guevara. If you have a headless chicken, the chicken is going to move all around, because there's nothing that inspires this chicken, because it does not have a head. In Cuba, that revolution was led by what? In Ghana, when Nkrumah started to say, let's produce our own food, it was led by Nkrumah. Here, we do not understand. This revolution that we're talking about, what we're talking about, it's an agricultural revolution. Do we have an agricultural revolution in this country? We spoke about agrarian reform, but as long as this department does not have leadership that inspires these officials, we're not supposed to go, please, we'll be wasting our time. Next year will be leadership, as I say, people should understand what we want to do. Therefore, with those few words, I'm going to say that's where we are. Now, I want to suggest, we need those response. Did you, now I want to suggest, because I'm still interested in some of the things also I asked. But let's say that the DG writes, give us written responses to the things that really we ask. Because if we don't get responses, we'll ask the same things again. Therefore, I request that DG will receive that, and then for us to be able to entertain. Thank you very much, Chair.
Maybe just in conclusion, members.
This document where I think the speaker...
I'll come to that.
You come in today. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe just in conclusion, what I would propose we do going forward, especially out of this exercise that we just had, we were meant to have had a strat plan workshop earlier in the year. Perhaps we program it together with the department so that we get to review our own strat plan that we did, and also reprioritize in accordance with the new priorities that have been there. You have your draft IGDP still. If you could also contextualize that within the framework of your NDP and the MDGs, especially as you are moving towards, you know, your strat plan and budget for the new coming year. If those could be contextualized within those frameworks. So that is what I would propose we do before we go to Chile, Mr. Van der Leyen, and Brazil. Now, the last point I wanted to raise is that the land bank has, or rather the finance minister has sought for our indulgence on making inputs towards, I'm not even sure how many members of the board. That request does not specify as to how many candidates are expected. In other words, we are expected to make an input in the form of, you know, providing CVs of those that we feel can make it to be sitting in the board of Land Bank. That deadline is tomorrow. We did indicate correspondence has since been circulated. I must also point out that we did indicate to the finance minister via the speaker that we only, you know, receive such requests. Granted, we don't have any legal footing that gives us any further powers, so to speak. As I always say, we simply are a post office wherein we receive the CV, we hand those over to the Minister of Finance. We did request that the Minister of Finance takes us on board, at least appreciate what we are doing. Granted, we don't have any legal standing in terms of the law that says we can go beyond simply being a post office. However, we did impress upon the Minister of Finance that if we could be taken on board, if we could be appreciated at the end of the day, so that we get a sense also of knowing whether those of our recommendations did go through or not. Because it only ends literally at having those documents out there as to whether they, you know, they do pass the test or not, you know, it remains a big question mark. We'll come back to that. And the last one, I'm not sure about the date. Maybe if there is any information, we'll appreciate that. The Livestock Improvement Program. The National Cash Marketing Council, together with the department, they're running those programs. Last time it was at Mount Frere, and unfortunately it was not communicated to members. And this time around they are planning, and I can't remember the actual date, they are planning it somewhere in Krizani, I think Queenstown or something, or one of the farms. This is a very interesting program that the department is running, wherein your cattle are taken through 3 months, 6 months, being taken through those feedlots, and then they come with a different weight, and then in terms of market out there, they are better off than you would have had them on your own, all over, you know, malnourished and so on and so forth, some of them. So that's the kind of program for us to go through and see how they do it. The other program was at Fort Cox. I think those are the few that I thought I might wish to mention to members. The next session that we're going to be having, which is the very last for the year, shall be at Ngeha Farms. If you remember, we had agreed that we shall have to go back there and meet with all the role players. The MEC has been invited. The HOG and the minister has also been invited. The aim, it is really to see how best we finally conclude on what is it that we want to do with that project at Ngeha Farm. Also, the other object that we want to achieve going to that meeting, or rather going to that farm in East London, it is for us to arrive on an evening before. We have the annual, the RAB report. We also have the minutes that we would wish to adopt, so that the quorum is really is to be appreciated in that regard.
Yeah, I think I want to agree with that. You see, because we said we want to look into the way forward. You still remember we said we are not going to go and play there. We are going to give a way forward. What should happen for the future of that project? Full stop. Now I want to agree with what because I don't want us to have 4 hours and want to leave a rushing for flood. So it would be better than we arrive. We arrived, as I say, at least the day before. Then we are able to deal with other things and also the preparation of that meeting for us to be able to deal with it adequately, in particular when there are going to be external people. But I would wish that we also do not exclude the role players there. I don't know, because when we were there, we had other role players. We said, we do not want only the minister there, the provincial minister. We also want the provincial officials. Because remember, there's a gap between national and provincial coordination. There's nothing like that. Therefore, I'm saying we would wish that we also said we're going to look into the audit report. Is it an audited report? Yeah.
Forensic audit report.
Did we receive it? I haven't seen it.
Yes, we did. Those that did not receive, may you make copies? I'm sure Dinawas would have some copies.
Yeah, please. I would want it. But lastly, Chair, on the response of the DG, at least before Friday, before we go to Ngeha, we must have received the response of today's meeting. At Ngeha, at least if we can get the response.
Members? Aren't we supposed to attend for now?
I just want to make sure that these questions that we have asked now today, that they are, that the department go back and they go and think about it and come up with good answers, say by Tuesday, so we can get that answers on the questions, please.
That's what Mr. Banga was talking to.
Okay, I just want to make sure that it does happen.
Mr. Ra?
This issue of the nominations for the land bank,
What it says here basically, Chair, is that by the 31st of November, I didn't know that November has 31 days, but in any case.
31st or 21st?
Excuse me?
It's 31st or 21st?
31st. then we should nominate candidates with a background in credit risk, agriculture, and human resource management for appointment to the board of the land bank. So I'm just mentioning this. Now, Chair, did
Mr. Abram, you have assisted us because I have read that all members did receive that correspondence. Am I right?
I received it, Chair.
I thought it's 21st, but you're correcting us. It's actually 31st, not 21st.
Actually, the 30th, Chair, but it says here, it says 31st, but I think it's the 30th November.
November, you know, the olden, you know, January until February, November is here. That's the old trick. Okay. Members, I think we're done. Otherwise, we can go on and on and on. Mama, you are the very last one. The DG wants to make a comment before we part. DG?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. It's a pity we couldn't dispose of the questions that we could have easily done so now. But what I would request, I don't know how it can be done, because now the instructions that I'm getting are, you know, a bit confusing now. There's what we need to do before Friday, before Tuesday, there's Nlecha. Is it possible?
We'll bring them next week when we meet at Nlecha. Thank you.
Is it possible that we have it written down what needs to be particularly relating to the questions here?
What do you mean?
No, the I don't have a summarized version of what needs to happen from here, you know.
It's basically responding to questions.
That were raised here.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
It's written reply to questions that have been orally raised.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and relating to that, I would also plead that questions that relate to the minister be addressed to the minister. Okay, thank you.
You bring us one sort of response. Those that are referred to the minister, you refer them to the minister. These are questions that came from the committee. And then we're expecting responses, one set of response, as it were. Members, thanks for your time and the meeting's adjourned.